welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And I know I don't have any music again. I have to send it into BBS Radio and yada, 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 especially when I'm traveling around. I know you guys understand, though. And my special guest tonight is my good friend, Crystalia Marie of EmpoweredSpirit.com. Welcome to the show, Crystalia.
Thank you, Valerie. It's nice to be here tonight.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. Okay, yep. You guys, get ready because we're gonna talk about some things that are really going to require your thinking caps. And they have to be connected to your heart, too. That's the important part. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about conscious language. And the reason that we're going to do that is because it has become glaringly apparent to me as I had my offer for the manifestation room out there that most of the people have absolutely no idea how to ask in a conscious way for what they want. And so we're going to go into that today, and then we're also going to tell you about the free intro class that we're teaching and then another class after that, all about how to refine this in your lives. And before we get started on all that, though, let me do just a little bit of commercial self-aggrandizement, as they say. We're putting together our schedule for the West Coast. So if you're on the West Coast, we're looking at Las Vegas, Reno, Portland, Oregon, Vancouver, Washington, possibly Vancouver, B.C. Maybe we can do those together. Then we're going to come down the coast and go to San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego, and then come back to Sedona. This will be during the month of April. In May, we'll be in South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and through there. Of course, we're going through Texas and New Mexico and all that. And then in June, we will be in New York and Philadelphia area, Reading area, Pennsylvania, possibly upstate New York, and in Maine. And then in July, we will be in Michigan. Wisconsin, Michigan, and maybe Canada around that area too, and also the Midwest. So we'll be down there in Cleveland again, in Chicago and Colorado and all that stuff. So if you're interested in hosting a Quantum Vortex group, then please drop me a line. If you don't know what it's about, you can go to my website, drvalerienmd.com, which you can access off the BBS site on my Enlightened Medicine page. And I've got a little thing in there under Host Your Own Quantum Vortex Gathering, which is on the home page. You can click on that and see what it's all about. We're having some amazing things happen, and we have discovered some different ways to manifest that are pretty interesting. So you might want to be part of that whole thing. Okay, so that's my commercial thing. So now let's get to the conscious languaging. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking a little bit about what exactly that means. So, Crystalia, do you want to do the intro or shall I?
Well, I think it'd be good for each of us to kind of do it from our own aspects. So how about if I go first, though?
You do that.
Okay, so I think I've got a couple little stories that will really get people to think about why conscious languaging is so important. So we all start out with little things that happen in our lives, and we start talking about those negative aspects. And what happened for me was a couple years ago, I woke up one morning to the phone ringing, and it was my broker who was telling me that all the stock that I owned, and I had like maybe $80,000 in there, was worth zero. So I went into pure panic, and I got on the phone, and I talked to everybody I knew, and I was going nuts about how awful everything in the world was. And this went on for 2 or 3 weeks, and everything was about all the negative, and things got worse. And they got worse, and they got worse. And finally, one day, one of my friends says, "You've got to stop talking about it." Now, I already taught all this stuff, and I was still caught in that trap. As soon as somebody just said something to me, and I stopped, and I'm like, "You're right. No matter what, I have to think of some positive." So I actually sat down and meditated and thought of some positive, and I started just thinking of every little positive thing. And I let go of any of that mind chatter that was going on, all the negative mind chatter, and bingo, things turned around. And so I think, you know, it's really important for people to start thinking about what things are they thinking, what things are they saying out loud that is negative, because that's going to keep that negative flow happening.
Exactly. And I don't know how many people I have stopped even on the street and said, do you realize what you just said? And they go, huh? And, you know, it's very easy if you're aware of this, if you're tuned into it, then it's pretty easy. If you're not tuned into it, this may be pretty new to you. So let me just give you an example. If you're with somebody, say this is somebody you hang out with, and you go places all over the place with this person. They're your best buddy. But you always kind of have a feeling like there's something there that's just not quite hitting right. Start listening to what they're saying to you, because they're speaking the truth to you, whether they know it or not. So this is kind of the opposite side of the whole of your conscious language. But just, you know, listen to what people are saying. For instance, I used to have a couple friends that would say, oh, I hate you. I'm so jealous of you. Oh, just kidding. And I'd look at them and I'd go, no, you just told me exactly what you thought of me. And I would listen for more things. And they would constantly be doing this sabotaging thing. And they'd just go, oh, you know, I love you. You know, and it's like, no, I don't think so. And so, you know, if you're around somebody who's giving you constant put-downs, those put-downs are going into your aura. And this includes your family, by the way, folks. And sometimes the family is the worst, because the family never sees you as you're growing up to be. The family only sees all the mistakes that you've made, for the most part. Some families are different. But listen to what people are actually saying to you, because they're really telling you what they feel about you. So that's the other side of the conscious language. And how many of you, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you say is, oh, you know, the S word there, or the F word. You know, do you say that the minute that you get out of bed? Now, if you do, what you're doing is commanding for your whole day to be that way. So that's an important thing. And watch what you repeat to yourself. And, you know, this is a hard one, especially where money's concerned. And honestly, guys, what I saw most in the people who put in their request for manifestation is I think almost every single person was really, really struggling with money. And not struggling with having too much of it, mind you. It was quite the opposite. And some people obviously really hate themselves. Now, normally I wouldn't even look at these, but I had to look at them because I had to see if I had to change things. And I did have to go in and change quite a few things of the way people said. And it started getting me thinking about how little is really told about this. Now, we could go into the whole history of language and what it means and all that kind of stuff. But that would kind of bore you to tears and you might fall asleep. And I hear that I have the reputation of putting you all to sleep after the first 10 minutes anyway. So we're not going to do that tonight. But I'd like you just to kind of put your thinking caps on and start to observe what's happening and what you're saying. So say you want to go someplace and do something. And I was guilty of this for a long time. If you say, oh, I can't afford to do that, then guess what? You can't afford to do that. Or if you say, oh, I'd really love to do that, but I never have the money to do that. Okay, well, guess what? You're going to continue to love to do it, and you won't ever have the money to do it. So the main thing I want to get across to you guys is be more conscious. And if you say, I can't help it, that's a lie. And trust me, if I could change myself the way I did, anybody can. And so that's a hint there, because I was raised to be very critical, very judgmental, and especially about myself. And I know a lot of you out there have been through the same thing. It reminds me of what Don Johnson said one day in an interview, you know, when Miami Vice was really hot on TV. And he said, you know, it's parents' job to screw the kids up, and it's the kids' job to fix themselves after they're 18. I always thought that was really interesting. But yeah, that's kind of the way that it works out. So when you're looking at that, if you've had a tough childhood or if you've been belittled all the time, you know, you're the only one that can change that. And the way it has to change is deep within yourself. Now, in the class that we're going to teach, which is an interesting class because we're going to talk about three particular areas, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But one of the things that we're going to go into is how to change yourself. You know, how do you take those steps that are really important, and how are you going to be able to affect such a huge change in yourself when you're stuck in habit? And you know, how long is it going to take you to reverse that habit? So that's what we're going to talk about in the class. And tonight, what I'd like you guys to do is call in or get on the fast blast and tell us some of your affirmations. And we'll be talking in the meantime back and forth about, you know, what's important with conscious language. And then we'll answer your questions as we go. So, okay, your turn.
So, Valerie, as you were talking, I was thinking about some of the things that I've heard people say that really make you think, as you were talking about starting the day off with the F word. Mm-hmm. Think about how many people you hear say, and it may be you that's saying it, you're going to give me a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how often people have heart attacks after a while from repeating that statement over and over again?
Yeah.
It's huge. And people just, you know, they don't even think about the fact that that's what they're saying. So one of the other stories I was going to share with people was back a couple years ago I was doing an event, and I was the greeter at the door. I hug everybody. I'm a big hugger. And I actually walked from the back of the sign-up table for every person that walked in and hugged them.
Wow.
And these people, we were in Michigan at the time, middle of winter, cold and flu season. And honestly, I stay healthy all the time. I don't get colds. I don't get flu. I'm always healthy. So everybody says to me, "Don't hug me. You're going to get sick." And I said, "Don't worry. I never get sick."
Mm.
Now, I said that about 125 times in less than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
The next time it happened, the same kind of event a year later, doing the same group of people, and, of course, I caught on to what I had done the first time. I really looked at what I had done, and I said, "Don't worry, I always stay healthy."
Mm-hmm.
That difference of affirming that I always stay healthy made the difference, and I stayed healthy. So really what I'm really all about is not just changing our beliefs, but also changing our thoughts that we're thinking throughout the day when some little thing on the computer or wherever gets you,
mm-hmm.
to be able to stop before you start hammering on it and instead start thinking in a positive way. Look for the lemonade instead of the lemons.
Mm-hmm.
And really think about, what is it that I'm repeating over and over again? Who am I talking to, and are they a negative person? If we bring negative people that are constantly hammering on the negative into our lives, they pull us down, drain our energy, and pretty soon you'll find yourself doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to align yourself with people that A, will bring to your attention that which you're saying. Gently, of course, no hammers, okay, everybody?
Yeah.
But also that you can remind and that the two of you reflect back and forth what's going on, and both of you stay positive, or as you grow your surrounded group of people that you attract, you start bringing in more and more positive people. And the negative ones, they fall away. They don't even want to be around you because of you're too positive. In fact, I've been called Miss Pollyanna a few times, but you know what? I'd rather be Miss Pollyanna than Miss Negative.
Oh, yeah. It's hard, especially now with all the energetic changes that have happened this last year. I have had so many of my friends say, "You haven't seen me because I haven't been out." Because these are people I used to see out around town all the time. And I'd ask, "Oh, what's going on?" And they're like, "You know what? People are so negative. I can't stand to be around them. And I just want to be in my own little place. You know, I don't want to be bothered by anybody. I just want to do my own thing, and I just can't handle that negative energy right now." And I thought, okay, you know, I understand that, and we're not even getting into what they just said. But you know, I could understand that, because it is very difficult to maintain your balance when everyone around you is doing this negative swirl, you know. And I've seen so much of that here in Sedona, and you would think, everybody thinks Sedona is such an enlightened community. Got news for you folks. It's where the people come to learn their lessons quickly, usually.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with really being enlightened. But, I just have so many examples. You know, I can remember when I was married to my second husband. Oh, boy, this guy needed help, you know. And I was, at the time, working in the ER. And so when I said jump, all I wanted to hear was, yes, ma'am, how high? And if I said something else, you know, I wanted everything in the affirmative, you know, like don't give me any crap, just do what I said to do, because I had people's lives in my hand. And I was so focused, so left brain on all this. And by the way, most people that work in the ER can conjugate the F word in ways that are new and creative. And I'm sure I could come up with a few nobody's ever heard before. And that's just the way it is, you know, in every ER or ICU I've ever been in, mainly because it's so high stress, you have to have some kind of a release valve. But I started to realize sometime that I was becoming somebody I really didn't like because the words that I was using were changing me. And, I mean, I caught myself a couple times complaining about my husband because he was so lazy, total couch potato. I mean, if you open up the dictionary, there was a picture of my second husband under couch potato. Laziest guy around. Total TV addict, even watched the commercials. And so I was complaining about him to, you know, coworkers, because that's what women do a lot, you know. So we were complaining, and I said, oh, I'm just going to kill him. And then what stopped me was one day after, you know, when I wasn't working in the ER anymore, and I had my own business, and I was being an artist, and the two guys whose shop I was sharing, I said, oh, I'm just going to kill him. And the one guy looked at me, and he said, yeah, you are. And it stopped me dead in my tracks. Now,
wow.
I didn't mean I really wanted to kill him. But the guy probably would have had a heart attack if we stayed married. Or something. I don't know what would have happened. But, you know, I might have actually done away with him because I was just so angry at him. And it was coming out in my words. And so, you know, if you start examining your language, and you start seeing what are your habitual patterns, what do you use? You know, we all have these little phrases that we say, just kind of a matter of course. Like, you know, one of my favorite ones is when somebody says, oh, God bless you, for whatever reason, whether I sneezed or they just think I'm fantastic. I say, thanks. I'll take all the blessings I can get. And I started doing that because I realized that I had been pushing away my blessings for many years. That's so many of us do, because we don't think we're worthy. And, you know, we have to get to that point where we learn how to love ourselves. And, you know, I was taking this Hawaiian course of training, and the lady was saying, you know, when you get up in the morning, here's what you do. You jump out of bed, and you throw your arms wide, and you stretch, and you yell, aloha! And I said, okay, that seems a little weird, you know, living in Phoenix, but okay, whatever. And she said, and then you throw your arms around yourself in a big hug, and you say, good morning, Valerie, I love you. And so I'm rolling my eyes going, oh, this is going to be good. But it was. It was really, really good. Because it focused my attention on not only me and loving myself, but it was giving commands to my subconscious to love me, giving me the permission to be lovable, and it was starting my day out with a giggle. I mean, how many of you guys, really now, how many of you could leap out of bed, no matter what the weather, no matter how bad you were feeling, how many of you could leap out of bed, yell aloha at the top of your lungs, and then proclaim that it's a great morning and you love yourself? And then give yourself a big hug. I mean, I can about hear you guys all rolling on the floor laughing about this point. But try it sometime.
Hey, that sounds like an awesome exercise. I have a favorite song I like to listen to in the morning. which is I greet this day with love in my heart, is basically the concept.
Mm.
The same kind of thing. It's real upbeat. It's by Michelle Blood, and it's just an awesome, fun song. And I agree totally. If we greet our day with love in our heart, with aloha, whatever we do that's positive, our whole day just goes way better.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you wake up, and I think in the movie The Secret even, they have that one place where the woman, like, rips her nylons and does a bunch of things because she started off angry when the alarm clock went off.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what happens. It's not fictitious, folks. It really, truly does happen that way. Start your day off with, I love this one, aloha, I'm ready.
I cracked up. I couldn't stop laughing. Every time I did that, I just laughed at myself so hard. And after a while, it was like, yeah, okay, I'm getting used to this. But, I mean, just the picture, just seeing myself back then doing that is hysterical. And, you know, and there's so many instances like that where what you say to yourself or what you say to others makes a big difference. And like my late husband, you know, we had only been married a short time, a little bit over a year when he passed away. But I made sure that every morning when I woke up, I gave him a hug and a kiss, and I said, good morning, honey, I love you. That's the first thing I said,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. And, you know, it was such a shock to him because he had had a horrendous childhood and not a great adulthood. And so to have someone say that to him every single morning, no matter what, just kind of blew his mind. But it was all true, you know, and I was able to help him spiritually because of little things like that. Or I would just walk past him and say, you know, I really love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I would constantly compliment him on things that he did that were true. I mean, they weren't false compliments. But I said them from my heart. And that's what makes a big difference.
Oh, it absolutely does make a big difference. I mean, even if you're not in a relationship, but if you can walk down the street and smile at a person, sometimes that's the best thing that happens for their day, and you make their day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that doesn't also help you in a different way? I mean, you don't even have to hear them say thank you.
Yeah.
Just that exchange of energy makes a difference. You were commenting about the people here in Sedona hiding out because so much is negative. That's like the worst thing they can do, really. They really need to get out in the negative energy and change it.
I know.
Spread
yeah, but a lot
their
of
light.
Them, they don't feel strong enough. That's why they don't do it.
Sure, I realize that. And you know, the class we're going to be having in a few days here, that's really what it's about, is teaching people how to be strong and how to change that languaging as well as their beliefs, and to really go out and shine their light and make a difference in the world, in their life and other people's lives.
Absolutely, and we're going to cover those three areas that are really important. We're going to do the wellness, the wealth, and the wove, as you say.
And the wove,
the wove. Come and join us for the wove.
Well, I needed three W's. What can we say? You know?
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about all those things in our class because, you know, we have some pretty interesting combined experiences, Cristalia and I, and, you know, we've had extensive training in all kinds of areas and meditation and all that kind of stuff, and we tend to have our fast-forward button pushed on the VCR of our lives.
You think maybe?
Yeah, and because of that, we've been through more than a lot of people our age have been, just because we have chosen to take the difficult path and to really blast through it because we wanted to be ready for the ascension and ready to go on through a different space. And so what we're going to do in this class is we're going to give you some of our secrets that can absolutely help you, you know, as long as you practice them. The more you practice them, then the easier it's going to be for you. Because there's certain universal secrets, and these are not something that we thought up. These are things that have been around for, well, since the beginning of man on the planet. And these are things that the ancients have known. And, you know, Greg Braden talks about how he went to all these monasteries and found that all these secrets in quantum physics that we're now discovering were known by the ancients, all the ancient peoples, all the way back to the Babylonians, the Sumerians. and have been passed down in oral tradition and in the libraries of Tibet and all these other kinds of things. They've been passed down for thousands of years, and now we're going, oh, hey, when we do this, this happens.
Isn't it amazing how that kind of happens, where some of those things got lost? I think a lot of it got lost when we moved into the science age or something of that sort, where we felt we had to go prove a lot of this stuff, and they already knew that it worked, but you know, it wasn't proven scientifically with documentation and major tests and stuff. And unfortunately, I think we lost a lot that we're now starting to learn again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I remember when I was being taught some of these principles, and you know, they're written down in these books. And, you know, you're supposed to have meditated to a certain point before you got to them. And now I think, what's the big secret? If people knew these things from the time that they were little, the world would be a different place. And it's really sad that we don't have that as a normal part of our culture, and we have to go seeking it. So, you know, as we were talking about it before, you know, when we thought about, you know, teaching this class, you know, I get more and more excited the more I think about it, because I'm realizing it's a chance to really help these people who haven't had those advantages. And, you know, you find a little bit of information here and a little bit of information there, and, you know, it's so piecemeal. So I think by doing what we're going to do with this class, we're really going to bring some people together and you know, show them how all this stuff kind of fits together.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I also think it's really important for a lot of people to think, oh, they're really good at this stuff. And yet I see some of the biggest leaders out there teaching the wrong way, in my mind, of doing some of this. So a couple of different words I hear a lot that are really, really weak, things like the word effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot better ways to say that word.
Mm-hmm.
Easily is fine, but effortlessly, it's negative. It's got that less in it.
Yeah.
Things like that are really weak words, and people are still using them a lot in their affirmations and just the wording they say. Another one that's really, that I hear a lot, is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about, oh, we need to love everybody unconditionally, and we just programmed everybody for conditional love because our subconscious mind didn't hear that on.
Yeah.
And
I was guilty of that myself. You know, I didn't even think about it. And I know about conscious languaging.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is something that's very pervasive in our society.
Well, our churches and religions and all of these different places all teach about unconditional love. And the idea is fine, but the wording needs to be changed, because that's not what's going to work from a program standpoint. And if you think about the numbers of people out there that are judging each other, including themselves,
mm-hmm.
we obviously don't love each other unconditionally.
Yeah, because if you love someone perfectly,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to allow them to be whoever they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wording I use is total and complete love.
Yeah, doesn't mean you have to let them walk all over you.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, and
not
I've told
that.
People before, listen, I don't like the way you're behaving. And you don't have to change for me, but I'm telling you that if you're going to act like that, then I'm not going to be around.
Right.
And it's not that I'm trying to tell you how to be. It's like, dude, if you want to be that way, go ahead and be that way. But I'm not going to be around because I don't like it.
Right.
And it's harmful to me. And so, you know, I'm voting with my feet.
Yeah.
And so, and it's oftentimes it's the hurtful things that people say.
Right.
You know, it's not just me. I hear the hurtful things, and maybe I'm more tuned into it because of the knowing about the conscious language. But, you know, one of my criteria for someone being my friend is how they speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they start speaking to me, like I mentioned before, with a couple friends, then I'm immediately on alert, because they're telling me, I really hate you.
Right.
And I'm only hanging around with you because of what I can get.
Right.
And, you know, and as soon as you're not giving me that, then I'm going to leave. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of look at that and go, oh, well, wonder how long this one's going to last.
Right.
And usually the first time that I disagree with them, the first time that I refuse to do whatever it is that they've asked for, they're gone. Or they have a big fit. Oh, gosh, I had this one that she was insane. And I think I told you about her. I'm not going to mention her name on the air or anything, but she was just totally insane. And I was going, you got to stop this crazy stuff, you know, because this is not acceptable in my world, you know.
Right.
And I mean, I medicate people for acting like that. You know? not with antidepressants, but with other things, you know, get them out of it, but or slip them a homeopathic unbeknownst to them, and you know, and change them. But oh man, I'll tell you, you know, and you can always see it coming. So think back about what people have said to you. You know, and especially if you're having troubles with a friend or a loved one, think back about what they say to you. And what do you say to yourself? And see, the problem, too, is if you're with someone who's constantly belittling you or calling you names that they think are pet names, but they're really derogatory, every time they say that to you, it's going deeper and deeper into your subconscious.
Right.
And it only takes 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give you an example here. When I was with my late husband, this guy was in the Army. He was in Air America. He was an assassin for the CIA. And, you know, not a Casper Milk Toast, you know. He was definitely one of those movers and shakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he had been used to not respecting women. And here I came along in his life, and he didn't quite know what to do with me because he's my twin flame, so I'm the only one that could really affect him. But it was interesting, you know, he would call me names, and he would constantly do it. And one day I was just so fed up, because I talked to him about it several times, and he just was picking on me from the minute I got up. So I got up, I walked into the bathroom, and I wrote down these names that he called me, and how many times he called me in that space. And then I'd go sit down again, and he'd continue ragging on me. And I'd go, excuse me, and I'd get up, and I'd go into the bathroom, I'd write it down. Well, he didn't notice why I was excusing myself that much, you know. And finally, after a couple hours of this, I said, you know, I've got something to say to you. I said, you are constantly belittling me. And he said, I am not. I said, yes, you are. And I said, furthermore, you know, you're calling me names that are not true. And I said, now, lucky for me, I know they're not true. But for someone else who doesn't know themselves, they would believe it. And I even had a hard time because this was coming at me. It was a constant attack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he kept disagreeing with me, I said, oh, hold that thought. I walked into the bathroom. I got my little notepad. I came out, and I said, listen, you called me a moron 27 times. You called me an idiot 15 times. And I went down this list of all these things he had called me, and he sat there stunned. And I said, and that was just in 2 hours' time. And he said, you wrote that down? I said, yes, I did. Here it is. And I showed it to him. Because he had no conscious realization that he was doing that.
Right.
And, you know, after I did that, all that stuff kind of dwindled away, and he stopped calling me names.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I'm telling you this, folks, is because if you allow it to continue in your life, and somebody's doing that to you, you will believe it. So it's very important for you to stand up for yourself and say, that's not true. You know,
yeah.
I am not that way. And that may be your perception, and you're entitled to your own opinion, but if you continue to see me as that way, then I'm just not going to be around. And make good on what you said. Because what happens is it becomes part of you.
Right.
And, you know, the subconscious loves to take anything that's charged with emotion and use it. And so the words that you say are very important. And, you know, one of the things that made me so sad was my second husband, who really was not terribly bright, but he was the nicest guy in the world. And he hung out with all these people that, you know, that were telling me he was stupid. And it made me sad. After we got divorced, I just kind of was hanging out with him one day. And we did something, and he said, well, I know I'm stupid. And I looked at him, and I said, that's not true. And I thought, oh, my God, how have I contributed to him believing that he's stupid?
Right.
And, you know, as you become more aware and you start to realize what an effect you've had in other people's lives, then, of course, you start to blame yourself. So, you know, you start flagellating yourself with the bloody stump of the arm that you just ripped off, you know. So we don't want to do that, you know?
Right.
So you can change the way that you're speaking, and we're here to help you do it, and we've put together a class to do it, And we were going to talk about Michelle Blood stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and do that before I forget it again.
Well, this is really off track for what we were talking about in some ways, but a lot of people, I know a lot of people on your call are, you know, have big messages to get out. And a lot of us have this either fear of speaking or fear of getting out there and talking about our gifts. And I'll give you a great example. I draw images that do healing. Now, can you imagine you're like the one or two people on the whole planet that say, hey, this really does shift your energy, and if you hold this symbol, your pain will go away, or this or that will happen for you. So, you know, some of us have some really interesting gifts, and we can get really scared to get out there and get our message out there.
Yeah.
So Michelle Blood is a very interesting lady. She was in a car accident in Australia. She was a rock star at the time, and she realized how important it was, or how much jingles were affecting her thoughts, that she was sending them. And so she thought if she applied affirmations to jingles, she could create a positive atmosphere. And she's made a really nice living, it's probably more than just a living, off of that concept of creating affirmations and jingles. And so she's decided to hold a speaker training class. It's for motivational speakers that are wanting to get a message out, that's really got that message inside and it's not getting out. It doesn't need to be that you even have to go out and speak at big crowds. It may be you want to do radio like this, where you can kind of hide behind the scenes and just get on the phone, or do teleseminars. There's a lot of different ways to get your message out. And she's wanting to teach people that. So she has three different levels of teaching that, starting at a nice reasonable level of, I believe it's around $600, and going up from there depending on what you want to do with the class. So if you're interested in learning more about that, if you want to send Valerie and I an email at help me create, so it's help, H-E-L-P, me, M-E, create, C-R-E-A-T-E, at gmail.com, and let us know you're interested, then we'll get you some more information about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are a lot of people I've talked to in the last month who have been saying, yeah, you know, I'd really like to do this, but I'm afraid because of X, Y, or Z. Or I don't know if I'm quite ready, you know, yada, yada, yada. And guess why you're not ready? It's because you believe all those things that you've said to yourself or that someone else has said to you.
Right.
And so what I'm doing right now is I'm kind of putting together a couple hours of radio on BBS here, where we have rotating hosts so that people can kind of get their feet wet and really get into it and decide if that's what they really love. I love it. I've been doing it for years now, and I absolutely love it. So there's all these things there. And what really hit me as I talked to a couple people is, wow, they are so talented, and the message that they have is so important. And how are we going to get them to come out from behind their little spot there in their comfortable little house? How do we get them to get that message out there? Because they have such a unique take on things, and
right.
And they're brilliant in their own way with what they've done, and we all are.
Yes.
And so, you know, part of what this show is about tonight is to spark that brilliance within each one of you. And it's not that you have to go do a radio show or you have to go do teleseminars or anything like that. It's more like, you know, what is it going to take for you to become who you really are?
Right.
And I had one of my listeners called me up and said, you know, I have an idea for you. And she said, you know, when you sign off and you say, be happy, be healthy, be who you really are, she said, that's so comforting. And she said, we have so many people in our family that are always trying to make us be this way or that way, and it's not who we are. But it's like they withhold their love unless we show them that we're the way that they want us to be. And she said, you know, my brother and I, we just kind of look at each other and say, just be who you really are. And then she said, you know, you should start a counseling service like that. and if you don't, I will. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. So, Deb, if you're listening, thank you for the idea, because I've already done that on Ingenio.com. I've got my Be Who You Really Are counseling therapy by the minute. I figured, you know what? There are so many things we all could do. And, you know, if I could even help somebody with one phrase, you know, like get up in the morning, yell aloha, say good morning to yourself and hug yourself. I mean, practice it, you guys. I swear you will be laughing your butts off by the time you finish hugging yourself. But the thing that's so important is really we've got to get up into that higher vibratory state, and we have to stay there. And the way that you get there and stay there is by using conscious language. So be very, very conscious of what you're saying. And, you know, don't say these little self-deprecating things. And I used to do that, especially when I was a teenager. You know, and I would always put myself down. Well, why did I do that? Because I had to do it before somebody else did. And, you know, when I look back at those years, I think, man, so many of us are just not with it. We don't know who we are. You know, we don't see our worth. And, of course, all the people around us are glad to tear us down because then they can make themselves feel better.
Right.
So you go through all that stuff. And it took me years of working on myself and meditating and praying and going to all these different places and learning. And finally I realized that the only thing that has ever held me back is me. And, you know, it's not that I'm so brilliant that I never have that problem now. You know, au contraire, there's levels, you know. And I was just talking to Chris Stelia this week. I was laughing myself silly because I manifested a $20 bill. And, you know, I do have the manifestation chamber set up, and Madeline and I had set it up in a different configuration, which is really exciting because we're seeing some stuff really starting to pop now. And then we started this little affirmation. And so there I was, and I was going to run out and pay this one bill. And I looked at my money, and I went, oh, darn, I need like $5 extra to pay this whole bill. And I knew I didn't have any cash in the house, and so I'm sitting there going, huh, what am I going to do? And then I said, wait a minute. And I said my little affirmation for money, which we will give you, you know, when you join the course, and did my little affirmation for money. And I went into this day timer that I have not used since 2005 because I packed it away. And so I had been through this thing three times in the previous week and found a dollar bill. But this time I knew there was nothing in there because I had already gone through it three times for different reasons and looked through every pocket and every nook and cranny. And I said, now come on. I must have extra money because I really want to go take care of this right now. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said my little affirmation again. Well, then I reached in and I pulled out three little receipts. And as I pulled them out, a brand new $20 bill came flying out. Now, I laughed so hard. I laughed all the way out of town to my storage unit, paid my bill, laughed all the way back. I had a fabulous day. And you know, my conscious mind knew there was not a $20 bill in there.
Right.
My subconscious mind said, of course you have extra money, because I've been doing this little affirmation in the manifestation vortex. <You know? laughs> So it was really kind of interesting to go through that, and I just thought that was so funny. And I have to tell you the story of one of the guys that I had on the show previously, and I think he told it. Anyway, when Ernie was on, Ernie does healing and things, and he's a remarkable man. And he said, you know, I went to buy a car. And he said I had X amount of dollars in my wallet. I think he had like $6,000 in his wallet. And he counted it several times in front of a friend, showed the friend the money. And so they knew there was only $6,000 in there. And he put it in his wallet, went off to the car dealer. And the guy said, that'll be $7,000, blah, blah, blah. And he said, okay, and very calmly took out his wallet and counted out exactly $7,000, whatever it was. And his friend's looking at him with his eyes as big as saucers. And he said, Ernie, how did that happen? I saw you count that money. You only had $6,000. And Ernie said, really? And he said, well, it just goes to show you. And I thought, huh. Isn't that interesting? Now, if you look at what they say about manifestation, we do manifest or create everything that we're experiencing.
Right.
Now, granted, we're doing it with a lot of other peas in the soup, as they say. And so what can we do on our part to make things in our lives work better? And that's what this class is going to be all about. How do you use language in your life to help you to create the correct affirmations?
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I'll tell you what. You know, all you people who sent in your affirmations, I got to tell you, there were maybe two or three that were okay, and the rest of them were horrible. And so it took me a long time. I had to go through everybody's list and change things that they had said. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm never doing this again.
Well, and I think it's really important for people to understand that when you receive that stuff, really, the energy's already out there.
Mm-hmm. It's out there right away. The minute they press the send button.
Right. And so they have sent that negative stuff already out there, and they're asking you to put it in a quantum vortex room.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Oh, let's make the bad languaging worse. Let's add the quantum energy to this thing.
I'll tell you, and it took me a while. I mean, I was like tearing my hair out going, oh, my God, don't these people understand this stuff? And then I went, well, no, they don't understand it.
No, because there's very few people that really teach it. And then a lot of people think they got it, but they don't use it. And there's a lot of really good things we'll teach in this class, some things like how I went from zero support in my life when I went through my last divorce. I literally walked around with a gun pointed to my head, and it was loaded, folks, thinking I wanted to leave the planet because I didn't have anybody to support me, and my husband took them all, my whole family and everything. How I turned that around to what I have today, where people ask me, how many people do you think would be there to support you through anything if some major thing happened? And I easily say, oh, 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
I went from zero. That was 12 years ago from the things I learned how to do.
Yeah.
One of the things I think is really important, too, is people are really good in one area. This happened to me a lot. So I was really good at health things. And when it came to money, I'd never had a money issue, so that's when I plummeted, like I told you in that first story. So a lot of times we're really good in one area and really weak in the other areas, the other two W's.
Yeah, and I found that too, and I realized, I guess it was about 4 years ago now, and I thought, you know, I was sitting there meditating one day, and I went, I have studied everything in my life but money. And I thought, you know, I know that our goal in this life is to be balanced because that's our ticket into the next dimension. You know, you really have to be in that state of balance. And so I thought, well, okay, how do I remedy this? Because my family didn't know about it, so I couldn't go to them. My late husband knew all about it, but he had lost his mind as he was getting sicker and sicker, and so he didn't think to do any of the things that would have helped me later on. And so I started looking around, and I paid big bucks, people. I spent about $65,000 over 3 years going to every course I could think of. I've been to Robert Allen's wealth seminars.
Well,
I've been
right?
to T. Harv Eker's Quantum Leap program. You know, I've been in all these things, and I've gone to Edward Jones, you know, to learn about finances. I mean, I've done all these things because I suddenly realized, when I was younger, you know, money came fairly easily because I would work a lot. I was a very hard worker, and I was always doing at least four or five things at once. And so I moved through life very quickly. Okay, then I got older, and I got more professional, and so I was making pretty good money. And as I've gotten more and more professional, I realized suddenly that I was expecting to always have everything that I need and most of what I want. And then people said, well, why don't you say, and plenty of money in the bank? And I thought, oh, I hadn't thought about that because I always get everything I need and most of what I want. And so I started saying that. Well, as soon as I started saying that, oh, my God, hell broke loose.
No, not hell, but heaven broke loose.
Something broke loose. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, exactly. See how we get these little things?
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, it changed everything. And so then I had to, like, start from scratch and start working at learning how to balance and you know, what can I do in my life and what are the spots in my life that I need to work on.
Right.
And as I started doing that, I started feeling stronger and stronger. And then I started realizing, you know, it really is not that difficult. And I know everybody tends to think it is right now because we're in the R word, you know, in this country, and the dollar's falling and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, people, that was part of the plan, you know, and you can survive and thrive beyond that. So what has to happen is you have to have the belief within yourself. And so the class we're teaching is all about how do you get that belief within yourself? How do you utilize it? Even if you don't believe it, what can you say that will eventually become a habit with you?
Right.
And so that's what it's all about. It's like, you know, we're going to help you in spite of yourself. Because we had to do it in spite of ourselves.
Right, right. Well, I thought you brought up a couple good points. One was how you mentioned that, gosh, the amount of money you've spent on the whole thing. And when I look back, I've also done the same kind of thing. And there are a lot of people out there that are charging big, big bucks to teach people that.
Mm-hmm.
And not only with what you and I are doing, but even with this class of Michelle's, the speaker training, if people are interested in it, I have spent up to $20,000 for a speaker training class by somebody that didn't understand a thing about what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I'm going to tell you right now, folks, some of the stuff we're doing and this event of Michelle's, you can't get a better price from someone that's more heart-centered, that really feels that we need to make sure we help people on this planet, okay, start
yeah.
to change, start to bring their light out, because if we don't, then it's not going to be a lot of fun around here. So we want to make the planet a lot of fun, a lot of peace, and we're not like wanting, you know, we definitely need to make our own money and our living. But we're not about, like, gouging people, charging thousands and thousands of dollars to teach things that if we don't get it out there, you know, who knows what will happen. So we don't want to focus on the negative. We want to create something wonderful here.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, I spent about $10,000 doing those kinds of classes, too, you know,
mm-hmm.
and training the trainer and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think that Quantum Leap program was how many, $32,000 or something crazy like that.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, I'm talking going to these classes that are $5,000 each.
Yeah.
And somehow I scraped the money together to go because I knew that I needed the shortcut.
Right.
Because I had wasted so much of my time not paying attention to any of that stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, there were things that were really worth it in those things, but, you know, the majority of time it was like I didn't need the rest of the time.
Right.
I needed somebody to sit me down and say, here's the way you do it.
Right.
And so what we're going to do in this class, for a minimum amount of money, really, but, you know, you can take the introductory thing. Those of you that are on my Enlightened News newsletter, we're going to be sending out a blast on that in the next day or two. And so if you sign up within 24 hours, you're going to get the early bird discount.
Well, and anybody here on the radio show, if they just want to go to createconsciously.com, they can go ahead and sign up right now, and by midnight tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
They'll get that $20 discount as well.
Yes, because that is going to make a huge difference for people, and it's going to be 3 weeks, so it'll be 1 hour a week for 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about wellness, wealth, and love.
And really, our focus is going to be about that, but it's also going to be about how to change this languaging really fast. I've got a tool that I use, that I teach people how to use, that's really simple, and you literally can change a belief in one session, folks, one session. And we muscle check people a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, and they're still strong on that belief. So, you know, we're not talking about little things here. We're talking about making some quantum changes in your life really fast. 3 weeks can make a real difference.
Yeah, well, it's either that or you could wait around and spend, you know, like thousands and thousands of dollars like we did.
Yeah, you know, I laugh. People say to me, because I also teach about balancing chakras, well, if I keep my chakras open, will I heal? And I'm like, yeah, if you've got a lifetime to wait for it, or you could add the other processes I have and speed the whole thing up. You tell me, what do you want to do, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I know, it's like the whole manifestation chamber. You know, when I go out and I give my little lecture on the quantum physics of it and how it works and all that stuff, I have people that look at me and they say, well, how much does this cost? And then, you know, and I'll tell them how much the equipment costs if they really want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get belligerent with me. And, you know, it's not my equipment, you know. I mean, it's Fred Bell's equipment. But they get belligerent with me. And then they say, well, do I have to have this? And I say, no, of course not. The question is, where are you in your manifestation abilities? Where are you in your conscious languaging? Where are you in your soul's evolution?
Right.
Because, you know, you could be like Babaji and you know, manifest a Rolex out of the air. Or you could be like the homeless person on the street that can't manage to get fed.
Right.
So the question is, where are you in your evolution and how fast do you want to move? And so like the whole quantum vortex thing, you know, we put you in that beam and we could do any number of people. We just spread the thing out bigger, you know, make a bigger beam. But when we put you in that, it will change your life.
Right.
And that's the whole reason Madeline and I are dragging ourselves and 100 pounds worth of equipment across the United States and going to all these places and going, look, you know, we're trying to help before it's too late, you know, and so we're doing our best now to try to get people connected and to help them to be happier and healthier and to really find out who they really are and to really kind of quantum leap who they are.
Right.
Because we need them. We need every one of you guys.
Yeah, it comes back down to, and I think this is the thing that from a science standpoint, that really gets the point across. When we hit what's called the 100th monkey, we will change things a lot more quickly on this planet. So the more people that join us in putting on their light and really thinking and working with their conscious beliefs, their conscious languaging, all of that, they're going to raise their vibration and be part of the big change that needs to happen on this planet. And I totally believe we're right on the brink of that big shift, and there's going to be some rude awakening on this planet when we hit that shift. So
yeah.
We're really looking for people here to join and really, really join us to make a difference.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how important it is. I mean, I keep stressing that, and I hope people are kind of getting it. That it's vitally important, and
yeah.
as the creature from the Black Lagoon that was standing out my window said, "You must shine now."
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, know what that means, but all
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So to that end, we're almost out of time here, boy.
Do we want to mention the email and the?
Yes. So right now you can go to createconsciously.com. That's C-R-E-A-T-E, create consciously. CONSCIOUSLY, consciously, create consciously, that's one word, .com, and you can sign up right there and we'll send you the instructions and all that stuff.
And that class starts on Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's this Saturday, so it's quick.
Yeah.
You don't have time to think about it, you know. Make your decision.
Yeah.
Which side do you want to be on? And also, for Michelle Blood, if you're interested in her offering, then you can email us at helpmecreate@gmail.com. That's helpmecreate@gmail.com. The G stands for Google. So again, that's helpmecreate@gmail.com for Michelle Blood. And to find out more or sign up for the Conscious Language class on Wellness, Wealth, and Love, that is createconsciously.com. You can sign up right away, and you'll get the early bird discount, $20 discount. So that makes a huge difference. Anyway, I hope you guys will join us, and I hope that you tuned in to the first meditation that was given on 10millionclicks.com tonight, and every week on Tuesday evenings at 6:15. They will be doing a meditation. Mine's scheduled for April 8th so far.
Valerie, it's 10millionclicksforpeace.com.
Oh, sorry, 10millionclicksforpeace.com.
And
you can sign up there for free, you know, become a member. And if you go to any page but my home page, there's a little yellow tag that says 10 Million Clicks for Peace. You can click on that. It'll take you right to the website, and you can sign up. And they have some really interesting offers on there. And you know, we got to get that 10 millionth monkey.
Yeah, and I'm going to be doing a meditation on there next Tuesday evening, too. So
yeah.
Please go out there to 10millionclicksforpeace.com and, and join us. We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. And with that, we are out of time. So as usual, thank you for listening in. And I think probably some people are caught by the time change and won't hear this until they hit the archives. But in the meantime, and until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.